Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Bono.
I like sucking.
Balls.
Legit fat podcast.
Retarded faggots.
Welcome to Legit Bat. And the voice you're about to hear is going to be none other than Monica Perez, who you hear every episode in the intro saying Legit Bat Podcast, which is the first time we heard our podcast name on another show, which was great. So I had to snip it. It is an evergreen in our intro now. But I am Joe. Jen is here.
Hello. Yes.
And I was actually looking at the last time we had you on, and I thought it was sooner, but it was last June, so it's been almost damn near a year.
About a year.
A lot has changed since then, but Monica Perez from the Monica Perez Show, do your thing. What do you want to talk about?
Y'all.
You said something about the Pope, and you're a Catholic for some reason, so...
No. Well, if you want to come out swinging... No, I'm a Catholic for good reasons, not the Pope not being one of them. People got mad. I didn't want to do it. As soon as they announced the Pope, I was like, I'll give him one Google search. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. Immediately, I'm like, oh, this fucking guy. So, and then people were like, can we just fucking wait a day? I'm like, no, there is no hope in the institutions. The institutions are hijacked. Any leader they give you is full of shit. They're, you know, if he's not dead within a month, he's definitely full of shit. And the two things that I was just like, okay, that's it. No more of that. Well, one thing is he had this quote that is repeatedly quoted in the Wall Street Journal about Ukraine. Did you hear this thing? When he was a cardinal or whatever it was, archbishop?
No, so I don't even know how any of that shit works. And as a God-fearing Protestant, I don't give a shit about any of that. So fill us in on it.
Well, it has a... You know, the reason I'm interested in it is not because it doesn't, as a Catholic, I know my doctrine, the church is the people. I very little that the Pope would say would really affect me in that way. But it's not good when they lead the church astray. And I think in this case, the reason that he's there is for like more political reasons. Like he's there, I think. I mean, I just was so bummed when I heard we had an American Pope. I was like, oh my gosh, they're just ratcheting this psyop up to 11. I don't know.
I'm glad you see it that way, because I know a lot of Catholics kind of it seems culty the way that they follow the poop in anything he says. Like that's kind of a, I mean, you should be following God.
They're wrong. If you really want to get into that, if you really want to go back and forth about why, like, I'm Catholic and think it's fine, we can do that and tell you, you know, I think the church is the people, and that Christ created this church, and he put it on Peter, and he knew what was going to happen forever. And, you know, it wasn't a mistake, but the Pope doesn't create the church. So he's the head, and he's got a lot of influence.
Do you think he's your direct the basic dogma is that he's your direct line to God? Do you think that, or do you think you're
Why do you think that's the basic dogma? Cite me the capital.
I don't know. I told you I don't know much about. I just know that
he's the leader of the church. He's the bishop of Rome. Like, that's what he is, and then he's also the Pope. But he's a bishop. He's the guy. I mean, you know, there's a hierarchy. There's a political structure. They keep the priests in line. Like, they make sure they're supposed to do things like make sure that bad priests are punished or removed. They're supposed to do these things. They're supposed to kind of be a organizational leader. And
supposed to being the key word.
Well, they are. I mean, they are the organizational leader, but it's not always a good thing. When it comes to matters of faith and morals, Christ said to Peter, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So there we do have the doctrine of infallibility. It's only been used twice. It's in matters of faith and morals. Both times was about the Blessed Mother. So it's just what the Catholic faith believes about her, that she did not have original sin when she was conceived, and that the resurrection of the body, which everybody believes in, right? Isn't that a Christian doctrine, a universal Christian doctrine?
I think pretty much, yeah.
Resurrection of the body. She experienced that upon her natural death. She doesn't have to wait till the end of the world like the rest of us. That's it. So that's the only two things that he ever said.
What I meant by, because when I think of Catholics, I think of confession, and the fact that you have to go to confession every week, or if you want to, and be like, here's all the things I did wrong, and tell it to a dude when you could just tell God yourself. And the Pope is like mega priest times 10, you know, so that's where I was going with that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say that the priest is an intermediary in that way, it is, again, a legacy of the apostolic tradition that Christ said that, like, you can go save people. We're just coming out of Easter, and they talk about that a lot, like, in the New Testament. I forget the actual quote, but, I mean, you probably know. They said to the apostles, like, you will go out, you will convert people, you have the power to forgive sins. He actually said to them, you have the power to forgive sins. So the priesthood is a continuation, and we would say a direct continuation of that apostleship. But if you have a perfect act of contrition, you are forgiven. If you are truly sorry simply because it offends God, that in itself, like if you're on a plane and it's crashing and you are sorry because you offended God, that's totally fine. You still have to suffer in purgatory. That's the thing. Like, you are forgiven. You're not going to go to hell, but you have to purge that. So the Catholic thing, the confessions, does not let you off the hook. So, but it's a very influential position. And I personally think that, and I'm not really exposed to this too much, but I can see, I just stumbled upon something on Substack and I was like, shit, like the Catholic thing is becoming a huge, they're making it like a MAGA libtard thing.
It reminded me of the royal wedding and that kind of thing, where everybody was like focused on it, even people who weren't Catholics. It was pretty crazy. People that don't have any religious affiliation were like focused on who the Pope is. And I'm like, why do you guys care?
Yeah, it's a lot of pomp. Yeah, it's exactly like the royal family. But what I'm seeing is they're trying to set this Catholic Church up for a schism. I think Vigano, which the people on the right really like, is this bishop who got excommunicated for criticizing Francis in a way that was not permitted. He loved Trump and all that. So there's all this political stuff. Then you have like J.D. Vance as a Catholic convert, Candace Owen, like that stuff to me is a setup. And I can tell you the three things that I'm worried about with this guy. But to me, I'll tell you, this is a sure sign. Did you ever, and forgive me if you've heard this and I won't repeat myself, but I've said it before because I noticed it right away. Did you ever hear of or read that memo by Cass Sunstein called Conspiracy Theories? In it, he invents cognitive infiltration. He was the guy who was the info czar, information czar under Obama. And I think his wife might be Samantha.
That was
Power.
A real position?
Yeah, no, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it was to control the 9/11 narrative. So the liberals, Democrats, knew that 9/11 was an inside job orchestrated by Republicans. They expected Obama to reveal that if you can fucking believe that. Like, Nixon was going to reveal the JFK thing. So he didn't. And not only did he not reveal it, he was tasked with silencing that. So the guy that he put in charge of that, Samantha Power, was, what was she? Was she a PR, like, you know, that the talking secretary person
like a
runs the
press secretary or something?
Or like a UN liaison. Samantha Power was is powerful. She's very high up. And this guy, Cass Sunstein, I believe is her husband, also very influential political thinking guy. And they hired him to figure out how to shut truthers up. So he wrote this memo, very famous memo, back, you know, before you started doing podcasts, or you would absolutely know about it. And he says, this is how you do it. You do something called cognitive infiltration. So you go to all the websites where they're talking about 9/11 truth, and you insert the idea that the towers were brought down by laser beams from outer space. And then you get everybody arguing about that, and make sure there's some and some things that are absolutely not true.
Holographic airplanes, nobody died, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So you put all that stuff in there, and you get people arguing about that. It discredits the people who don't believe the official narrative. It's called cognitive infiltration. Have you heard that expression?
Yeah, and there's plenty of examples of that, especially in the last few years.
But it was invented in this memo called conspiracy theories. Well, everybody knows Cass Sunstein wrote that, but very few people know he had a co-author named Adrian Vermeule, who was a Harvard professor. And I happen to remember the name because it was so unusual. So I'm looking up this Christian nationalism, and I run because I'm like, this Christian nationalism thing is clearly a setup for sure. Doesn't make sense. And I stumble upon an even further thing that makes even less sense, in my opinion, Catholic integralism. Which is, not only should this be a Christian nation, but it should be influenced by a Catholic doctrine, which seems like a tough sell to a country that isn't Catholic. So I start looking up Catholic integralism, and it was an idea that was created by and is being spearheaded by Adrian Vermeule. So
interesting.
The guy who invented cognitive infiltration is behind Catholic integralism, which means integrating Catholicism with the politics. But really, what all of this stuff means to me is what they really want to do is create real schism in the Catholic Church. So the church is the people, and there's over a billion people who are the church. It's continuation from the beginning. There have been many bad popes. It doesn't matter at all. Everybody, the real church is my parents. They pray a lot, or they're dead, but they pray a lot. They spend all their free time doing corporal works of mercy, spiritual works of mercy. All they do, everything's Catholic. They did not care about the Pope. They never liked the Pope. They knew that really bad sex shit was always going on. Like, they knew it was infiltrated by bad people to discredit it. They didn't really care. They didn't like it, but they knew the church was the people. But what's happening now is people are forgetting that. The way Trump has gotten people to forget what Ron Paul's message wasn't, piss off Democrats. It was restore the Constitution, restore the Bill of Rights. So our message should be do corporal works of mercy, follow the Beatitudes, do spiritual works of mercy, follow the Ten Commandments. Follow Christ's two commandments. So that brings me So I think that schism is coming, and the fact that it's an American pope means they're really going to use America to try to get that done. So there's three things, and what I've been saying leads into it. One is, when the guy says unity, you can't unite the Catholic Church or the United States under the banner of progressivism. You know, progressivism is when you're dragging people along. Progressivism is disruptive. So it's like Obama. He said unity, but it was the most divisive. And then he went even beyond that by making it more racially divided. He could have at least accomplished that, but he didn't. So this guy says he wants unity. I don't believe it for a second. So he had a public spat with J.D. Vance. And they were both totally wrong, in my opinion. J.D. Vance said, cut the shit. The immigrants are you know, Christians don't need to welcome immigrants from foreign countries. There's something called the Ordo Amoris, an order of love. You love your family first, whatever. And if strangers from another country are not, we're not, we don't have the capacity to do that. They're not on the top of the list. And the Pope, before he was Pope, I think it was before he was Pope, yeah, he shoots back, Jesus didn't tell us how to rank our love for one another, which is a little squirrely way of saying, you know, it wasn't totally wrong, but the right answer, which my 19-year-old son gave me, was said, yeah, the Ordo Amoris is the two commandments of Christ. Love God first, then love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And you can say, yes, I need my family. But why wouldn't a guy, a pope, say, see, this is the problem with these guys. God first. God first. Save your soul. Save other people's souls. You don't even have to feed them. I mean, yes, feed the hungry is one of the tenets, but it's much more important that everyone that you care about, people's soul being saved. And the best way to do that, you must love God first. So that he didn't say that, like, that's just wrong. It's just, and it was divisive. It's not cool. And then the last thing was him saying that Russia's motive for engaging in the Ukraine war was purely imperialistic, which is absolutely wrong. So if you're going to say something like that, be right. And mostly don't say stuff like that because it's none of your business. And now he wants to broker a deal with Ukraine and Russia. Fucking save souls, buddy. Just sit in your chair.
That's the weird thing is that why did it turn so political? Has it always been that way? I've not kept up on my popes or anything. Yeah, has it always been like that?
Well, I mean, John Paul II, which they made a saint. I don't, you know.
Okay, well, that's in recent history. Like,
yeah, but that was this is my lifetime. I'm thinking like he was there, Poland. That was a total Russia thing, right? That was him destroying the USSR. I don't have any beef with John Paul II necessarily. I don't know. You know, I like the stuff that he said. It was fine. I like Benedict said probably more good stuff. Papa Frank said a lot of stupid shit that I think was wrong. And I think he might have been drinking baby's blood or whatever. But were they all? Yeah, I guess. I mean, the Borgias and stuff. That's why the popes don't faze us too much. I mean, they were super, super political in Italy. There was probably a pope who was the son of a pope. Probably.
It's weird to me because there's no other that I know of. There's no other big religion that has one figurehead like the Pope, at least to that level.
Doesn't the Russian Orthodox have some?
I don't know, but that's what I mean. Is in major. Yeah. Do you know who that guy is? Do you know if it like? I don't know.
I don't know, but the Ortho Bros would know.
Yeah.
And does it translate across countries? The way that Catholicism
I would think so. Oh, I don't know. I don't
across
know.
Across as many countries, I feel like it's so embedded in so many parts of the world. I guess it's not everywhere. Yeah. But I think it's interesting that the Pope would say something that's so political, that's so current events. It's so earthly. It's so not of God's world, which is what they talk about, what God and Jesus talk about in the Bible. Don't worry about this world, basically, in layman's terms. Worry about God, like what you said. So the fact that they're getting so involved in it and not trying to divert people away from that and towards God
it's been hijacked. Very suspect. Just like the United States government. It's all been hijacked. And that's the fact. The world is not ours to win. So you just, but if they foment schism, then you'll have a lot of lost souls, people who were just the church will be destroyed. That's why I don't want like a constitutional convention. You start messing with the fundamentals and it's really lost. All is lost. The past is lost. And then maybe it ushers in the end times. I don't know, but I don't like it. So just, you know,
you just think the Pope would try to be a little more middle of the road, seeing as he has followers in like every country, basically.
I don't want him to be middle of the road. I want him to do his job.
No, I mean politically.
Yeah, not, he should be not political.
No, right. Apolitical, completely. Yeah.
The Pope has always, the church's position is, if it's a government that's accepted by the people, they will recognize it. So they get, I think they recognized the Nazis. The Nazis were an elected government. And they were like, we're not political. We're not political. We accept whatever. Like, we're just going to deal with whoever the people accept as their head. So, and you can get into that. I haven't really done a lot of research into it. I've read enough to know that there are many facets to that era in various institutions. But yeah, I want them to have nothing to do with that. I want them to be strictly stick to the spiritual stuff. There's a lot of leadership needed for that. And like Francis would say stuff, and I hate that he took that. It was such a subterfuge because he was a Jesuit. And the Franciscans, which was my family, they took a vow of poverty. The Jesuits are very like worldly. The Franciscans aren't. So it was like a fake out. But he said he had this big thing, encyclical or whatever, on youth unemployment. My mother was like, that is absolutely none of your business. So anyway, the environment, like we have rules, like you cannot abuse animals. You can't be wasteful. You can't. Thanks.
See, oh, you guys are ding, a bad ding, ding. Influence on me. We had the elusive Mr.
We've never
Perez.
Heard that, before. That was the elusive Mr. Perez's hand.
Cheers for the elusive Mr. Perez.
Thank you.
Who I've never met.
Oh my gosh, I should actually send him the link. He would have loved that discussion. He is a convert. He converted to Catholicism. I didn't even want him to because I liked going to mass by myself. And he would stay home with the kids. And then all of a sudden he shows up. I'm like, what?
But why do you like being around me so much? What are we, married?
Yeah, no, he definitely is a fan.
It reminds me, the whole Pope thing, like I said, reminds me of the royal family and the weird American infatuation with what we, you know, seceded from 200 years ago. That's a little different than the Pope, but it does remind me, like you said, I wish he would just stick to the church thing instead of the politics. It reminds me of celebrities or musicians in general when they're like, I'm known for this album. That means I have a platform where I can come out and talk shit on politics. Like, no, don't do that. Do the thing we like. Sing, play the guitar. Like, I don't want to hear your shit on politics.
Well, the opposite of that, though, too, is like Buddhism, those Buddhist monks that just completely detach from this world and are so present with God or whatever they call God. They're so grounded in a way and completely, again, detached from the Western world. They don't care about it at all. But I feel like Catholicism and the Pope, not necessarily Catholicism, because I think you're preaching it the way it should be, but it's almost being, like you said, hijacked by.
Oh, it's terrible. And they like it because it's hierarchical. Yeah. It's the same way in Europe. They want to have this, the Milner-Fabian conspiracy talks about using Islam and Sharia law. Like, I think the 21st century dialectic, I'll tell you what I think about that. But let me just say, I was raised by very strict Catholics. I knew I wasn't up to the task of teaching anybody about it, especially since my husband wasn't raised that way. So I sent my kids to a super Catholic school. They learned their doctrine. They learned Latin and everything. My daughter rejected it, and my son embraced it for the same reason I do, and my mother, which is...
I don't have a problem learning Latin as long as your eyes don't roll back in your head while you're saying stuff.
Yeah, no. It's useful for them for other things, but whatever. But it's a better way to live. That's the way we think about it. We don't try to get too into the nitty-gritty. However, I did read recently, you better bone up because you're going to have to explain it to people and I guess defend it, which I can defend that it's a better way to live, that's for sure, but like all those nuances, I guess I'll have to get better at it. But I do believe the reason that it's for the very reason that you are questioning it is that why does it have a hierarchy? And I personally am not a big fan of democracy. I kind of like, you know, if I had to have anything but basically, you know, agorism, I would prefer a monarch. I think that there's a good reason for those. And I think a lot of people...
I've heard that a lot lately. A lot of people being like, you know what, let's go back to monarchy. Fuck all this.
Yeah, I mean, you can see why it would be better. Obviously, it can be worse. But like, I'm not a big... People are like, oh, well, the Pope's infallible. Do it a different way. I'm like, well, what's your way? Democracy? Like, what is your way? It's like... I don't know. But the infallibility thing is extremely rare and marginal. Really, there's a whole doctrine, dogma of the church, all that. But seems to me that the 20th century dialectic was, I guess, like, I don't know, capitalism and socialism or communism. And we've got this, basically the whole world did go over to social democracy, which was Cecil Rhodes's plan. From the beginning. So we did move over to that. It was this nexus and we're all this synthesis, you know, the whole thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or problem, reaction, solution. What's the 21st century one? I think and I have plenty of books that will support me in this, that at least for Europe, it was, or the Eurasian continent, it was the Islam, like the secularism and Islam. And if you mush them together, you can have a kind of almost religious totalitarian system. So you have things like COVID, they wear masks, you know? I mean, that was a rite. That was a ritual.
We used to call them hijabs.
Yeah. So I think that they do. And actually, this book, The Milner-Fabian Conspiracy, says that. Like, I couldn't believe it. Clash of Civilizations is another one that basically says it. But it's not overt. So now they went back to using the language of socialism, communism, fascism, calling people a commie and stuff, just because it was so powerful and easy to bite off. But what I really think it is hijacking religions to juice power, political power, rather than allowing, you know, the freedom that would come with the fact that we really aren't still fighting on the borders for land and stuff. Like, we could just forget about it, you know.
Even
like,
that idea just, doesn't seem very,
we could just get along.
That doesn't seem real new, the idea of using religion as a control mechanism, if that's kind of where you're headed, if they're trying to do that right
not using it as a control, but hijacking the structure, having that synthesis and gutting it of God.
Right, and trying to use that organized structure as a control mechanism. So that's the main problem I have with what they say is organized religion. Not that I'm some monk that does my own thing. I kind of do. I'm definitely not a fucking monk, but the way that I don't have a problem with God or religion. It's people's interpretation of God and religion and what people say I should do or not do. That's where I have the problem. I don't have a problem with any of the rest of it. It's when they come together it's mob rule type of thing where they're like, we all agree that this is what should happen and this is what, based on our interpretation of scripture or whatever. No,
I think
it's
you
like,
can
no,
have
leave
an,
me alone.
A conversation about it and a back and forth. If you're dealing with people who are open-minded, that's where you can kind of break down what it should be.
I'm a religious anarchist.
Like 2,000 years of high intellectual research, study, debate, apologetics, all of that. And then you come up with the tenets are mostly from Jesus, and they give you, it's very clear what's expected of you, and you don't have to spend your time. I went back when I decided to like what path I was going to take in that way. I went back and looked at Socrates and the Greeks, and I said, have we gotten anywhere in proving the existence of God, the non-existence of God, like the questions and answers they were having? Are we doing better than that? And we're not. So I have a religious tradition that has a lot of value in that. It does, you know, I can tell my kids, you got to give an hour. Like in the agony in the garden, Jesus says, hey, you can't give me an hour? Come on. So I say, you got to give him an hour. So you go to church once a week. And, you know, you have to do certain things. You have to visit the sick. You have to see if somebody's on the side of the road. You got to stop. Like, you have to do these. These are the things you have to do. And I just think it's easier to teach them that way. And my mother, I would think, or like the yogis, whatever, at a certain level, I think it becomes internalized. So like the yogis will say, it's the practice. You have to do the practice. It's not intellectual, it's practice. And then as you practice, you internalize it, you get that muscle memory. And I think eventually you can get there, but we're so
right.
Distracted.
And like you said, that is arguably a better way to live. And when you're talking about proving the existence of God or what, that doesn't matter to me near as much as, you know, what the Bible says is the fruits of what people are doing. So you can measure it by that. You don't have to prove God's real or not. If you see that this set of people who follow Jesus's teachings debatably are doing better things and living a better life and helping people out than the people that don't, it doesn't matter. I mean, the atheists are never going to believe God exists or not anyway, but you can say, look at the fruits of these people's lives. It's much better.
It's much easier to listen to a drunk, as Mother Teresa says, you know, listen to the drunks. You don't want to do that because they don't deserve it. But if you're doing it for the love of God, it's easy. So, you know, I've had crises of faith and stuff. And when I'm feeling super faithful, like when I was very close to my mother, when she died about a year ago, But before that, I was spending a lot of time with her. And it was so, she just took such joy in the little things that you would do with, you know, she just loved it. She just loved to see you do good things. And after she died, I just, there was nobody there to care. And it took me a couple of beats, I have to say, maybe a year, to be like, there is somebody who cares if you do good things.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/FMH or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/FMH.
Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
They're just,
well, I mean, I don't think that's that abnormal. I mean, that's a big hit in the nads. So taking a year to kind of like regroup, I think, is fair.
And then the fire, really what got me back on track was this crazy ass fire. And I just completely think that there was a total miracle and that my house was saved. I just can't believe
it. No, I remember seeing that that picture on, I think it was on Instagram, you posted it. And it was like your backyard was just torched.
The fire was so close that it was like this orange haze. We've been close to fires too where we are.
Oh, yeah.
That looked insane.
It was insane. And we were there for like a whole day fighting it. And when I look back, we left the house around 3:30 in the morning, and the firefighter who came back, I don't think she really saved the house, but she was in, our house was on fire. But I think I don't know if there was water was over by then, like they ran out of water or the water pressure collapsed. So she was on my back porch while it was burning. And she showed me the picture she took, or the video, and it had a timestamp. So it was 30 minutes after we left. So we left before the house caught fire, but my son's bed is right, like the outside caught on fire. His bed was right inside. When I think about that, if we hadn't woken up, my husband woke up because of all the explosions, which I heard the explosions, but I'm such a, like a hard sleeper when I'm tired. I'm like, I don't fucking care. You know,
I can see
you just start sleeping, dreaming about it.
Sleeping through propane tanks exploding. Monica's just like, meh.
Yeah, I'm whatever. Like, eh, you know, I checked it out. I think we're good. And actually the house did not burn down. So, you know,
hey, so you weren't wrong.
So you knew.
I wasn't wrong, but he did. He like at 3:30, I just saw him at the window and he said, we got to go. I was like, okay. I didn't even look out the window. There was just fire raining down from above because of the embers. And anyway, I'm sure you heard the story, but what when in the moment that I just wasn't gonna even ask for, I just was bereft of faith, and I was like, I'm not even asking, I'm not even saying a prayer, or whatever.
And God's Stella, busy.
Yeah, whatever. No, I know. I just didn't believe. I was like, this is stupid. I'm not even asking. And Stella, one of my patron saints, she kept texting me from Australia, like, don't give up hope. I'm sure it's not your house. But what she didn't realize is I saw my house burning on TV. So I was like, I did see it. You could see the woman, the journalist, she was so brave. She was looking at the street signs, and they were my intersection, not just my street. It was where my house is. And she's backing up, and there's flames. First of all, she just does a 360, and basically every house is on fire. And she's backing up, and the only, like, not totally inflamed thing still had flames coming out, and it was probably the fence, my fence, the neighbor's back house, my patio, something like that. So we raced up there, my son and I, just to watch it burn. We knew there was, like, no hope, but we're like, fuck it, if it's going to burn.
They let you do that? I think that's crazy that they would even send a news crew out there.
There was no letting. Yeah, the news crew was amazing, but there was no letting. It was just my neighbor. We were in touch with our neighbor who stayed.
She's an anarcho-capitalist. She's like, yeah, I do what I want.
He said, just go. He said, just go. They can't stop you. So the scary part was driving over the downed power lines. But I realized in retrospect that they were dead. But we didn't know that. And I said to my son, I was like, just don't hit the edges. You know, like if you go over the rubber part, I think you're good, right? I don't know. We made it.
I mean, it seemed to have worked out well. So
yes,
hey. I'm just surprised they would send an unprotected news crew there on purpose and say, this is your job. No, you have to go.
Because it wasn't like an ocean of flames in the middle of the street. So that's why my neighbor stayed. He said the car was parked at the end of my driveway. I could have jumped in anytime. I had four escape routes and Perfect. He fought the fires, which is probably why it didn't go out. But we got here with my son and the fucking house was still here. The neighbor had told us like that. We couldn't figure it out. Couldn't believe it. And then, but people, that neighbor and the other neighbors were putting the little fires out everywhere, keeping the trees and bushes from going up. That's what you had to do. My son just looks at me. One of the neighbors is like, he got a bucket. My son just looks at me. He's like, Mom, lock in. I was like, okay.
So I would call that God telepathy. He was reading your mind. Yeah. You didn't have to say a prayer. He's like, I got you, boo.
I did say a prayer. I said a prayer. We got in the car and I said to my son, like, Stella's like, don't give up hope. Let's just say the rosary. We better. And of course he says to me, do you know it in Latin? And I said, no, but let's just say it. Two Hail Marys in. And that's when the neighbor called and said, your house is still there. And like, we just both burst out crying. And like, cause I said, I didn't even want to ask for something material. And I literally heard my mother's voice saying, like, ask for what you want. Say,
Monica,
my house.
Just do it.
Aww. Just ask. So I asked and I got it like within seconds. It was crazy. And I saw it burning on TV. So then I got my and then I was like, that's the deal. That's the deal. I asked for a miracle. I got it. And that's it. I'm not.
You did it after being extremely selfless, though, in a sense where the moment that you were running out of the house in a probably panicked state, you weren't like, oh, my God, save my house. You just saw everything that was going on and thought, God's busy. Like, I don't need to ask for my house.
Well, I wasn't.
Right now.
At that point, the lights had been out for hours. So it was 3:30 in the morning and I was crazy. Like, I cannot believe I went to bed, went to sleep, got into my pajamas. Like, what the hell? You could see the fire right down the street. But my house is 100 years old. So I just didn't think that it would, we were like, but it hasn't come down this far in 100 years. But I have my daughter's fucking bunnies. So I had to get the bunnies in a teeny little cage. I had a candle. And I'm like and my husband's getting my son who has Down syndrome and he's the same kind of sleeper. I was like, I don't care if I burn. It's like, no, you're going to care. Trust me on this.
At least for the first, 10 minutes.
Yeah. No. And then we got him in the car. But then I had this crazy dog, but I had to get the challenge was getting those bunnies because if they had gotten away and they're not nice, they don't like you. It would have been terrible because I wouldn't.
Bunnies are for meat.
Yes, I want to eat them. Yes.
Yeah.
But I
would. So you saved all your animals and family?
I kind of
want to
eat my cat.
Did you have like a bug out bag or something that had all your social security numbers?
We saw the fire.
Or like birth certificates and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it was right It's 1 mile from my
Cannot
house.
Imagine.
So not to break up this conversation, yeah. but I
you
totally
heard
forgot
it
to hit. No, I forgot to hit go live
I
on
saw that.
The third button. So you got to hit go live like 40 times before it goes live.
I saw this,
and I was like, "Why is there nobody in here
or not?"
No, no, we're recording. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So I'll premiere it after this. But for the people who, I told you I was a professional. Remember, I said that at the beginning. So
I went through a little spate of not hitting record after.
Oh,
that.
I've done that.
I had fucking fire brain. Not good.
Yeah, or it was cigarette brain.
Uh-oh.
Well, I figured if I'm going to breathe smoke, I might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, I might as well at least have stuff besides people dust and drugs in it.
That was so bad. Nicotine. We just got the insulation replaced in the attic, and I can't believe that we didn't do it sooner. It made such a difference. So now I think I know why the guinea pig died.
Ooh.
But you know what? That's what guinea pigs do.
They die. That's
they just fucking die. They're born to die.
It's one of the two things they do. Guinea
they
pigs
mate
live,
and they die.
And then they die. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And they run in a box.
Anyway. He was a foster. We were fostering him, and he just wasn't happy to be alone.
Well, he had a better life than he probably would have.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's possible I overfed him. But, I mean, whatever. That's what I do. They die.
Well, let's bring this back around to what I mean. Your forte is more like geopolitics and what's going on. Mm-hmm. What do you see in the last 15-20 minutes or so we got? What do you think about the general feel of everything? With because we haven't talked to you since last June. So Trump became president. Biden's got cancer. Scott Adams has cancer now. What is going on in the first couple months of Trump being in? Is it everything you ever wished for?
Oh my gosh. You know, I think everything's fake. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Me too.
Everybody's fake and gay. It's all fake and gay. Who cares?
Except for the moon, which is fake and gray. I had a.
It's fake, gray, and transparent also.
So I don't know. It's such a cult of personality. I just want the Bill of Rights. We're never getting that back. I think that Elon's, rage, the retire all government employees is, people call it Doge, but it's really just rage, which is the Curtis Yarvin thing. It's been floating around in the far right, neo-right, I don't know what even call it. People on the right who don't actually care about the Constitution or limited government. So I used to say libertarians are just conservatives who believe in abortion, big L, conservatives who believe in abortion. Well, there's the right that does believe in abortion. They're basically, fascists. They want efficient government. Who the fuck wants efficient government? That is what you get. That is what fascism is for. I don't want it. I want no government, minimal government. I would be totally happy restoring the Constitution. But this thing about Elon cutting the size of government isn't true. They're not pretending it's true. The budget grows every year. There's no, they don't even pretend that that's what they're doing.
Yep. So that's where I agree with you, is where it's all fake and gay. At least fake, quite possibly homosexual, is the trillions of dollars in national debt grows every year.
Oh my gosh. I know.
They're like, it doesn't matter.
It's crazy.
Print to infinity, keep selling treasuries or whatever. What?
And it's not, I mean, this isn't news, but I really, really think it is about growing the debt. It's not, well, we have no other way to pay for all this bullshit, so we have to grow the debt. It's like, we have no other way of growing the debt, so we need to.
And what do you think the end goal of that is? Is it to force a reset or to force a default?
I think it's really important not to underestimate how much of it is just putting money in the pockets of people who want the money. So there's a thing called the Sovereign Wealth Fund that they're starting. Did you hear about this?
No.
Sovereign Wealth Fund? Okay.
I heard about Ukraine, though, and that went directly into politicians'
the
pockets.
The commodity, so. The original, the 2013 stuff, or the commodities deal now? It's all, whatever. Our government, these investments, quote, that our government is making. When I was an investment banker, the fee that we got to raise, I did high yield bonds, like Michael Milken and stuff, which, by the way, is totally legit. It's not fractional reserve. It's nothing. I made a poem, which made me like the like nerdiest banker, and that's pretty nerdy. Why did I say a dollar earned, a dollar lent, a dollar borrowed, a dollar spent? It was very nice. And only,
that's very nerdy because it's over my head.
Yeah, it's a high yield banker. It's like roses are red, violets are blue. Inflation is theft, taxation is theft, inflation is too. Yeah. So
oh my God, you're a nerd. Keep going.
I'm such a nerd. It's so funny because I can drink like a fish, smoke cigarettes. Underneath it all, I'm just a huge fucking nerd. So when we did that, I did very small deals, and it was a long time ago. So $100 million deal for whatever toothbrush manufacturing company is one of the deals I worked on. And we got 7% of that, $7 million. So they, I don't know if they borrow 107 or they borrow 93 and we get 7 off the top. And then they have to pay the interest on the 100. So they give you 7. And they have to pay the interest on the 100. So the sovereign wealth fund is what countries that have a lot of oil, like Norway or Saudi Arabia, or like the state of Alaska could do it, or Texas. You have a lot of oil that is in government-owned waters or land. You have a lot of money. What do you do with it? If you're not spending it all right away, you invest it. We have debt. We don't have assets to spend. So if we're going to have an investment fund, we have to fund it with debt at whatever percent the interest rate is, 6%. But when that guy is spending it, a good friend of Hunter Biden's went to jail for doing this, whatever, that's a long story. But when you go and take that money and invest it, the guys who are investing it are taking 7% off the top. And sometimes they get a piece of the action. So they'll get like 10% of the equity so that down the road, when it's tripled in value, they're getting 3 times of money they didn't even put in. It's not even taxable. It's a fucking scam. So I think that a lot of that stuff is for getting money in the pockets of Trump's cronies or whoever put whoever his puppet masters. And that's a big, big part of it. Is it also for control? Yes. Do they have long-term plans? Yes. And I think the debt is probably leading to a currency collapse. So you get your CBDC, you get a new dollar, it's digital. I think that, and, but I do, again, my son's got funny ones. It's like, what do you think the future is going to look like? And he said, it's not Total Recall, it's Blade Runner. It's like, okay, it's Blade Runner. So you've got mostly the same stuff. And we maybe got some hovercraft or whatever. But you're still probably going to go to concerts and school. But yeah, I mean, it'll
look different.
Continually. No,
I've argued that.
Be boring.
People are like, oh, the CBDC is kind of being slow rolled, you know, and I'm like, I think we've had it for quite some time. The moment I signed up for online banking, I think in probably 2010 on my iPhone 4 or whatever it was, I was like, this is weird. It's not even real money. It's just numbers you punch in and then it transfer. And like, I don't really see cash anymore. That's a CBDC. Like, what else is that? Yeah, you can technically go pull it out of the bank, but for fucking what? Who takes cash?
It's super surveillance-y too. So get this, just between us.
Whisper.
I was trying to do something not probably the best, most approved,
lawful,
sanctioned thing that you could do.
I'll bleep it out.
Yeah, I was trying to establish an identity for somebody, and I had documents. You know, I had, this person was born at this time, whatever. I had that.
Were they real?
I cannot. Oh, okay. I cannot reveal the reason I came upon this opportunity to.
All you have to do is make the words bigger, and then people don't know what you're talking about. That's the thing.
I wanted to create a bug out person.
Okay.
Oh, and a straw woman.
Yeah, and I had some legit docs that would have been like, okay, this is this other person. Could not do it because in order to, so I wanted to get, I think I wanted to get a driver's license.
This was all experimental and theoretical, obviously.
Yes,
right?
None of this really happened, but just I stumbled to see if upon, you could do it. I was researching the possibility and I came upon some hard truths, which were this. You can't do that. You can't get like a driver's license or whatever without, I believe it went in this direction, a bank account, and you couldn't get a bank account without a phone number. So I tried to establish a bank account, and they said, well, we can't put it in this, we need a phone number. So I gave them a phone number, and when they called that number, it wasn't in the name of that person.
Oh.
Did you try allegedly getting a burner phone?
Freaking out. Well, I didn't go any further because it started to get fucked up because the guy was alerted. And I'd had a situation once where, couple of times where, you know, you get a phone call and it's like, what is the nature of this transaction? Blah, blah, blah. That's, I come from a very shady family. You get shit like that. Like,
trying
I was
to pay with Bitcoin.
A good, shady, Catholic, God-fearing family.
We couldn't fit. Well, I mean, maybe that the shady ones were not the Catholic, God-fearing ones. They were lapsed Catholics. Maybe that's why my parents prayed so hard. But like, you were always taught never to answer the door. If there was a cop at the door, you don't know what they're talking about. I mean, I was almost arrested when I was 13.
The only word you say is lawyer. You say that over and over and over again. Yeah.
Well, you have to be taught that when you're like 5.
Yeah.
In my house. So anyway, the guy was like, what's going on here? Why is this not the number? Whatever. I'm like, okay, I've got to stop. But I tried to do it in different ways. And it ran up against, I would say, the phone. So your phone is your identifier. Your phone
your digital
number
ID.
Is your social security number for purpose. Because there's a law against using the social security number for identifying purpose, 1974 Privacy Act. They're really not allowed to do it. I'm sure Trump will overturn that or whatever, but or bypass it. I feel like Musk was.
Well, they've been using it as identity for years.
Yeah. They have, but you could challenge it. But the phone is, I think I've never heard anybody say that. I never heard anybody tell me that, but the phone number and your name attached to it is going to be why you can't disappear completely and never be found, which is a book I had.
Uh-oh, pulling one off the shelf?
I should, but I don't think it's that valuable anymore because
I don't think you're going to find it. It looks like you need to organize those quite a bit more.
No, I think that makes it more valuable. You can't make a crypto account without a phone number, taking a selfie, taking a picture of your photo ID with your face next to it.
But remember how decentralized.
I did that because I'm stupid.
But that's what I mean. You have to. I've done it too. I did it a long time ago when they came out. I'm like, oh, of course, I have a phone. I have my ID. But you could never do that now. You can't do it. How do you take a selfie?
No,
if you're just doing it on your computer and it doesn't. If it's just a Windows 95. How to disappear?
Ooh.
How to disappear completely and never be found.
Before I was married, a person out with my husband, and he saw this, he was just like, who the fuck are you?
I'm a nerd.
I don't know.
No, that's what I thought was funny, not to get on a Bitcoin or crypto tangent, but the real big
totally.
Crypto people I talk to are like, it's basically the best thing that's ever happened. I'm like, I don't agree.
Well, because they're getting rich off of it, which is great. I'm so
happy. No, even the
happy.
People that aren't getting rich off of it, they're like, this is the only way to take back our powers, to decentralize. I'm like, if you think Bitcoin is decentralized, what are you smoking?
Every transaction.
Right.
They can trace back every transaction.
To
I
the
just
picture
don't even
of your
understand.
Photo ID and your name. Like, what?
I know. I don't. People.
No, but it's hashed. It's on the blockchain. It's like, you don't think there's ways around that? I mean, come on.
I mean, the dollars in my pocket, you cannot tell me exactly what they were used for.
No, you could do a IPMS or analysis and figure out how much cocaine's on them.
Yes. I'm sure you can get some.
But
DNA.
They can't tie that to you unless that same cocaine's in your nose. So good luck, DA. Or whoever
that is true.
Else.
But if you buy it with Bitcoin,
Yeah. It's tied to your name and your address and everything else. So I, as an experiment one time, just this is what I thought was funny about what they call the dark web and Tor browsers. And I'm like, I wonder how hard it is to go on the dark web. So I downloaded an app on my iPhone that's a Tor browser, and I'm like, wow, this is so anonymous, and so nobody's going to know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, what?
The CIA I went to a couple Tor sites, and they admit it.
There's a Silk Road still, even without Ross, apparently. There's a Silk Road site that's a Tor site, and I just started scrolling through, and they got everything you want. You got DMT, you got meth, anything you want. It's like, really? All you got to do is pay with Bitcoin. I'm like, I don't trust this.
If you
for
can
a
download
second.
It as an app on your phone, I don't feel like it's the real
No, I'm doing
web.
It wrong, obviously. I mean, there's ways to use VPNs and all that stuff. I still don't trust any of that either, though.
Well,
VPNs,
the VPNs
still don't
blow
trust
up
them.
My computer. Like, I can't.
You're using the wrong one.
Really? Like, I did the iVPN, and just so I have iVPN, so it was $300 a year, and I didn't realize it, but it like had people over it, and I was just ordering in, and it the company wouldn't take the order because of the they couldn't verify whatever, and so we were like an hour later, I'm like, where's that food? People were
I know. I was trying to gamble on the Super Bowl this year, and in California, it's illegal to gamble online or in general, unless you're an Indian for whatever reason. And so I was trying to figure out how to gamble, like illegally, obviously, and I would have had to use a VPN. I'm not even sure if it would have worked because they would not let me buy tokens or whatever unless they could verify my location. Yeah. I'm like, why? Why does it matter? And they're like, because you might be in California and it's illegal there. Stupid.
I don't think private companies should have to enforce laws, especially
no, that's not their job.
Laws, right. Prohibitions that are, I hate prohibitions anyway. That's why I hate plea bargains, because if they didn't have plea bargains, they couldn't have all these bullshit laws.
The plea bargains is one of the most bullshit things that are sold to us as it's way better than taking it to trial.
Efficient.
No, it's not.
No.
You take that shit to trial, half the time it gets dismissed because they don't want to spend the fucking money to take it to trial.
So you're just not admitting guilt. You're just saying, I accept them.
This is not legal advice. It's just thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's unconstitutional. It's not.
It should be.
Yes,
I mean, the last time I had to go to court was last year for lighting off fireworks in my own house. Not in, outside of it.
I was going to say, well, I mean, that's just stupid.
No. Very you responsibly, only mildly drunk, and I got a fucking ticket for it.
They arrested you?
No. Yeah, it was just a ticket.
But
it was
a
bottle
misdemeanor.
Rockets. It wasn't actual, it wasn't like crazy, awful fireworks or anything. Not awful, but no, there wasn't a light show going on.
No, it was stupid. The whole thing. And I went in there going, you know what? I could be a total cockhead in all of this and see how far I can get. Or I could go home to my family tonight. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's minor. I mean, yeah,
it is minor, but like I didn't want to be. It was a $500 fine. I didn't want it to turn into $5,000 or $10,000 worth of shit.
Yeah, but so you even like, had the judge on. Even the judge goes, didn't you say the judge was like, "Oh, that's a crime," or like
the
sheriffs were like, "What?"
He didn't even
They're
know
like,
what the penal
gay.
Code was. He was like,
"Wow."
The judge was like, "What is this?" I'm like, "That makes two of us, Your Honor." I don't know.
Yeah,
what the
so
fuck's
I bet
on.
You could have argued it, and they maybe would have set up
a little bit less.
Maybe I don't
maybe
know.
Your fine,
our county's on fire all the time. I don't think they would have actually.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that we have high fire danger up here.
Yeah,
so.
That is why.
So that I get why that law's in place.
Possible. But that's what started the Pacific Palisades.
The problem. Yeah. The problem I had with it was that I didn't start a fire, which is a crime. Nothing happened. There is no victim. There is zero victims. Zero life. Nothing.
But if they set a precedent saying it's okay to light some fireworks in your house, you know, they can't say as long as you don't start a fire. If you do,
it doesn't
multiple
matter.
People will go out and do it, and that could
that
start
gets
a fire.
Into like
so
thought crime driving. Almost.
Yeah,
it's, they right. really want to deter it. But yeah, that is super
most funny. People do it really well, but there's those people that kill a lot of people, and that happens.
Not, you know, I don't understand why we don't engage in fire prevention anymore. Like, I don't understand why there are fires everywhere. We spend like $7-9 trillion in taxes.
Dude, I said this
local.
In like 2018 or 19. Remember
we
the
we do too. Our county
here,
was
it was
on fire.
Total dereliction of duty. They didn't have to clear it. They just such a small area that was earmarked to be cleared in 2022. That's where the fire started. They never
no, and do you remember the car fire and the Paradise fire that went on
oh
up here
gosh,
like back in 2018, 19?
Paradise fire was crazy.
Even back then, I was like, Are you telling me it's almost 2020 and we don't know how to fucking put out a fire yet?
But the Paradise fire happened right after the car fire, right?
Yeah, Paradise was the same year, I
think.
After,
and that
was
right
a
shitty place for a fire to start because there was one road out. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You have one street.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different show about talking about the conspiracy of that whole thing.
Yeah.
But just as far as mainstream goes, is like, what... We can give you a boner in this year, and we can do all these things, but we can't fucking figure out how to stop a fire?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, the original barrier to civilization, which had to have been conquered 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
For, you know, I mean, it just makes me insane. And we spend all... So you spent... We have trillions of dollars worth of taxes. What, name three things you would want government to do for you if you want them to do anything.
Buy more helium. That's NASA's big
protect
thing.
Protect you from death.
Helium.
Yeah. Fire and murder, I guess, would be the two things. Fire
did you see that precedent? I'll have to pull it up. I posted it on Instagram, I think. But this ruling, basically, that was like, cops do not have a duty to protect the
citizens. Yeah, definitely not. Yeah,
like, and it says on their cars to protect and serve, but instead they harass and douche and then say it's protecting you.
Yeah, I used to actually know that court case because I learned it in school.
It was back in the, I think, late 80s or something, right? Yeah. Early 90s? Yeah, and literally that's not been changed. Like, they're like, cops do not have the obligation to protect you. It's like,
and they don't
cool, so what are you doing? Yeah. I doubt we have any cops that listen to the show, but if we do...
I hope we do. Our local police department is amazing, so I have to shout them out because they don't listen to us.
I've had some good experience. Like we had some problems during COVID, like weird shit in our neighborhood. People. But they were cool. But it was a very nice neighborhood, and I even wrote a letter because everything was fine during COVID. And then as soon as they released the vaccine, they wanted to force these cops. There were like 20 cops to get the vaccine. And I wrote, I was like, you can't make them do that. They were on the front lines. You didn't make them not come out. Like, that's bullshit. And I said, you are on notice that this shit will hurt them. And then you will be liable for it. And this letter puts you on notice. And
you wrote it like a lawyer. I love that.
Yeah. I was going to say that's actually a big thing. Put the notice.
You're like, I'm going to pro bono represent these police officers and just send a notice to scare the shit out of their commanders.
I was worried that I sent, because I'm not, I'm like retired from the bar or whatever. I was nervous to send it because I wouldn't know what to do if they, like, my dog caught a squirrel once, like, didn't know what to do with it. She fucking swallowed it whole. But yeah. No, I had to make him sleep outside for when he was going to barf it up. So
gross.
I did not want to have to swallow the squirrel whole. But it never got. I don't know what ever happened. But they were nice to us when we were the troublemakers, though.
So. Dude, I can't imagine.
We were too. No, we had. All right. First of all, Joe got in trouble for lighting fireworks. But we also had during COVID. We were playing music out back. We've told this story on the show a couple times, but we're playing music. It was very quiet. We were just talking out on the patio. It was
8:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah, it was like 8:30 on a Saturday. It was very early. And Ben took a phone call, and he walked out into the yard, and I turned up the music all the way for 2 seconds because he took a phone call while we were in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, you were fucking with him.
Yeah, I was just fucking with him. I was just like, it was all the way up and then all the way back to where it was. Right. It was like a 1 second transaction.
And somebody called the cops on you?
Yes. So two police officers showed up at our house. And we had the garage door open and the back patio door was
with
open.
With their lights on.
Had their lights on because Maddie had a party a year prior, so they didn't know if there were teenagers partying or if it was adults.
They told me they do that to scare.
Exactly. They walked up and we walked into the garage and they're like, oh, sorry, we got a noise complaint that the music was up loud, but your music is at a very reasonable
volume.
Do
you know who did it?
I'm pretty sure it's our neighbor to the north.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But like, we think it was them.
It's okay. He doesn't listen to the show.
But They were really cool, though. They were like, your music's fine. We just didn't know if it was a bunch of teenagers. No big deal. And Joe's like, you guys want a beer? Your mustache is fantastic. And they were like, oh. They just laughed, though. They were great. They like, left. Like,
they're like, we're just making sure there's no drunk teenagers. I was like, no, just drunk adults.
Because I said, mustache. I was like, oh, so what? I said, when's the noise ordinance start? Because I'm sure there is one. Yeah. And they said, 10:30. And I looked at my phone and I said, well, it's 8:30. So I feel like the city's safe, guys. Thank you for making us a priority, because if you guys are coming out here at 8:30 on a Saturday, there's not shit going on. Exactly.
I can't even imagine, like, I'm younger than both of you, but even at your advanced ages of 29 each, to think that there's cops out there that are like 22 enforcing these laws that they don't know shit about, like arguably don't know shit about, terrifies me as an anarchist.
Well, that's why up here after the fire, I was fine with the sheriffs, I was fine with the cops, but when the National Guard came, and they were so young, and they're
those are untrained children,
and they've got those huge guns. I mean, and they're in their Hummers and everything, and they were being polite to us, but I was like, because I had been climbing over the fences to get in and out of my house because we weren't supposed to. That's when they had the manpower. In the beginning, they didn't have the manpower to stop us during the fire, but after, they stopped us. But we had our way with it. We had ladders up and in people's backyards because everyone abandoned their property. So we just went in the garage, would get a ladder. It was great. And but once the National Guard showed up, I was like, those fucking guys will shoot me. And I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, so you're like, I'm not trying to be a headline.
The pros I was fine with, but the McVeigh looking guys, I was like, I can't.
Hey, you want to go viral? Violence, nudity. What did Sam say? Violence, nudity, or pissing people off. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Stupid, super stupid shit goes pretty viral.
Oh, yeah. Well, Monica, we will let you go for the night. I apologize to people who were trying to watch this live. I will stream it live, but it's not going to be actually live. So chat away in the chat box there.
Yeah. So, apologize. Well, that was cool. Thank you. I hope I didn't just hijack with things that were interesting to me. And
no, we wanted to talk to you. We haven't talked to you in a year. I actually I read a story today. Just I haven't read Yahoo News in a long time. Probably, 6 months, a year. I've really just kind of backed away from it. But I read a story today about the couple that was shot outside the D.C. embassy or the Israeli embassy in D.C. Sorry, but
here we go.
But did you
know
read,
what I think about all
did
that?
Did you read maybe the you article on them? I don't know. But I read it because I'm like, there was a shooting. Yeah. The whole article read exactly like the first dog that got COVID that was a German Shepherd that died. It was named Buddy. I'm not saying people aren't real. I'm not people didn't die.
Yeah, I saw actually the subtext was they were on their way to Israel where he was going to propose to her.
Propose to her, yes. Yeah. And he is a German. He's from Germany.
It's fantastic.
But he converted to like Christianity, but he wanted to live in Israel.
Yeah, okay.
But he wants to live in Israel to help the Jewish people.
Fantastic.
But it's an insane article. The whole story was insane.
I'm not saying I'm happy anyone died. I'm saying that I think everything's fake. So saying the narrative is...
The narrative is ridiculous. I don't think two people didn't die, but I was like...
I have absolutely no idea if anyone died or not. I didn't look into it at all.
Right.
I found the like little blurbs and what you're telling me to be well-crafted.
Yeah.
But here's my thing. I've been noticing for a while, because I was on the radio a long time ago, starting a long time ago, you could not say anything about Israel, Jews, anything like that. You would never, ever say anything. And I was raised not to talk about people's race or identify, stereotype, generalizations. Never. It's like a taboo. It makes me want to barf. You know what I mean? It would be
it was like trashy. Like my parents taught me the same thing. Like, oh, you're just, that's gross.
Like I can't, you know, it makes me like, I don't want to do that. And all of a sudden, you're kind of required to do it. Like people want you to do that. Like you can't, I can't tell you, I've been kind of waved off on podcasts because I'm like, I don't do that. I'm not doing that. I think it's a setup. I think it's complete setup. There's this push to have anti-Jewish sentiment. I'm not going to say it's anti-Semitic because as a Syrian, I know that Palestinians and the Syrians are Semites, like then they're being slaughtered. So it's not,
And most Israelis are actually just Europeans. But anyway, different show.
Yeah, that's a good point too. So it's anti-Jewish sentiment, which is not good. It's not. It's like, don't hate my dentist, my best friend,
right,
who died was Jewish. Like, you know,
I don't hate all dentists. I just hate what they all do.
Well, dentist is a bad example. So, but I'm just saying, all of a sudden the tide turned, and that's what everybody wanted you to say. Everything is fake. There is absolutely no way that some zeitgeist rose up out of nowhere and pushed through that taboo, that media suppression. And everybody all of a sudden has to talk about, you know, child sacrifice and tunnels and stuff. Like, it's just that kind of stuff is being talked about for a reason.
They're calling it the noticing, and I agree with our buddy Catalyst over at White Rabbit. Shout out, buddy. He said the same thing.
I've been noticing.
Like, this is by design. Like,
I've been
noticing. They're pushing, the algorithm is pushing the noticing, as they call it.
Yeah,
and
I've been noticing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the articles are probably written by AI, to be honest. It's crazy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's being done for a couple of reasons. One is, you need, if you want to have a cover, like, you couldn't criticize Obama. If you criticized Obama, you were a racist. You know what I mean? So if you want to have a shield like that, you need to keep it fresh. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, if you can get enough of the anti-Jewish sentiment going and pass laws against it, when there's a world war brewing in Israel, you're going to be able to silence anybody who objects to it.
That's the real Iron Dome they have.
You couldn't, yeah. And by the way, I don't think Netanyahu is running the world. He lost his election 3 times. Somebody propped him up and kept him in there to do what he is doing. And it is not the Israelis.
He's a war criminal.
I'm not defending, you know, I don't know how much power they have over their own government. I know I have absolutely no power over my government, or we wouldn't have, behind the scenes invaded Syria. So I really don't know. But I know that guy was propped up externally for a reason. This is obviously the reason. October 7th happened after that. And, you know, I don't know if it's war or just rumors of war so that they can sell defense stuff. I don't know. But this thing here that happened today, to me, is like, you know, the first act of phase 2.
I don't know where it's gonna go. It was just super weird to see the way, and then the shooter's name was Elias Gonzalez.
They know him already. That's perfect.
Elias Gonzalez. So already. With all the deportations going on, like, I don't know,
he's got a manifesto, I think.
I'm sure.
I know.
To look at the Netanyahu thing, I'm like, I just don't understand it. First of all, I think I put this in Telegram. I'm like, why do they call him BB? It's like, that sounds like a pet name for a boyfriend. Oh, shit. Maybe I just answered my own question. And then all of a sudden, Trump started doing all these other things. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on anymore. I'm just going to sit back and watch it, because what the fuck? Like,
we can notice.
Let me ask you something. It's so funny that you should say that, because just today, my son is home from college, and him and his friend they're very savvy, super savvy. They were laughing about that. They were like, I'm noticing whatever. And I was like, okay, what is that? Like, is Alex Jones or whatever? Like, it's just, I don't know what hell it is. But, and I said, what exactly is it? And my son said that it was that, what you were saying. Like, and I knew right away. And it just,
it's New World Order with a J.
Think of that. Like, today, the first time I heard this thing, I'm noticing, and now I've heard it again. It's maybe the Bider-Meinhof effect or whatever.
No, it's the algorithm.
Yes, it's the algorithm.
I didn't come up with that. I'm telling you what I've seen online, and I'm like, really?
No, I know. It just popped. So my son, who, like, you know, he's the demo they're popping it at, he tells me this stuff. He laughs at it. It's for, like, you know, Sam Hyde or whatever. Like, it's just fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny, but whatever. But what... what is the point? Like, I wanted to do the laundry today, and I didn't know what to listen to. Do I listen to current events? Do I listen to history? Like, how can I stimulate my mind when everything's bullshit? There's no point. I should probably not even podcast anymore and just fucking go back to making sauerkraut. Like,
no,
what
let me recommend to you. You listen to audio dramas. If you're into listening to audio with an earbud in,
I will send myself.
Listen to
You've done enough of that.
All right, listen to the telepathy tapes.
I'm a huge nerd. You forgot.
Hey, you'll like this. I promise. The telepathy tapes. Have you heard of that?
No. That's another one I don't know what to think of as far as like why it's like, being pushed now.
Huh? Oh, it's being pushed. I can't push.
No, it's not being pushed at all.
Even fake shit's good.
I've got my what Rolling does it
Stone
say?
Shirt. It's the Rolling Stone. Oh.
Wait, like, let's
this
do
is
that
our
higher.
Classic example.
I can see the bottom. Higher?
Oh, stop. I would have to get up out of my chair. I know. You like a good rack. I appreciate that on a man.
Oh, yes. And a good butt.
Well, I know Jen has the, what was the famous quote about your butt?
Jen, you have butt. A great butt, but you enunciated great. Oh, you said great butt.
I think I have that drop somewhere too.
That's great. Oh, you have to dig that out. I'm writing down the telepathy today.
Dig it out.
Yeah, the telepathy, it's about people with nonverbal autism and how they're telepathic with their parents. And the parents are kind of in this community where they're like, we don't believe in telepathy, but I feel like my son's talking to me maybe. And they all kind of get together. And this one researcher, Kai something, she was actually just on Joe Rogan recently. I don't know how you feel about all that. I didn't know she was on
That's
Joe
what
Rogan
I mean by being pushed.
Until very recently. But she, when she did the show, it was before all of that. She started the show a while back, but she just wanted to.
Well, but you know, yeah, stuff gets promoted, but.
For sure.
It might be a little saturated with the special needs world. Given that it's
I didn't even think about that.
Full of autistic kids.
Oh, really?
My son who has Down syndrome. Like, there's two kinds of people. Originally there were two kinds of people: people with Down syndrome and people with autism. And then he had to like make sense of his siblings, so he folded in people who have normalism.
Oh,
which he doesn't prefer that, but because they lump these kids together, he's frequently.
You want a good laugh or cry, depending on who you are and how good of a person you are. Watch Love on the Spectrum.
Oh,
hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. And there's one for Down's kids. So I asked Sam.
Oh, really?
Sam Tripoli to
kids,
do.
This is not pandering to you at all. I've known a bunch of Down syndrome kids as a kid myself. I would rather hang out with all Down syndrome people than any normal people any day of the week.
Yeah.
They are way better.
My son
that is the way.
Really wants to do a podcast. He's into The Simpsons. He's into cryptids. So if you
he
ever
should totally do a podcast,
a really goofy ass podcast, because he's super articulate. So if you ever wanted to know what they are actually thinking, you can get him. You know, and
Can we have your son as a guest on the show?
Oh my gosh,
I would love to have your son as a guest on the show.
He's really funny, or like 5 minutes or whatever. But like, I walked in today. We went to the dentist. He was getting his teeth cleaned, and I went in there just to check it out. And he was talking to the dentist about having two of his teeth filed into werewolf fangs. And the dentist
was
like, well, you can do that. And you can also like have prosthetic ones, you know, permanently, whatever. And I'm like, hey.
Well, don't give him those ideas.
When they first threw down the mask mandate. So we're like, oh shit, you go back in the house and get a mask. He came out with a werewolf mask, like an animatronic. Where, and I was like, fine.
See what I mean by they're better in every way? Yeah. Everybody should have done that.
He was like, I took that super literally. Yeah. I want a full mask.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Way
he was
cooler.
Wearing it around.
It probably protected him more than
out.
An N95,
yeah, that's
too.
True. Yeah, it was covered in hair. So, yeah, I'll think about that. He's quite the handful and says crazy.
Or if you guys want to come on together, that would be awesome. Like,
maybe.
I just remember the Michelob Ultra story where he went to go pack his lunch and packed a Mick Ultra.
His blue Coke.
Yeah.
I took a blue
and you're
Coke
like,
to
no,
school.
No.
He took it to school and they called me from the principal's office and they were laughing. And I was like, you fucking suspend that guy. You suspend him. And he had to come home and like, you know, watch TV. But whatever.
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, but he did know.
Good mom, though, you were. Oh, he
kid
did.
Know. He yes,
knew
he
it was beer.
Did know? Yeah.
Oh, so that he was sly bastard.
He was using the fact that he's probably so. I know people with Down syndrome as well, and he knows that people misjudge his intelligence. Yes. So he's how much can I get past these fucking dumbass motherfuckers?
This is his line. This is his line. But I have Down syndrome.
Oh my god, he's like a cat. Yeah.
Oh no,
he's
like,
so awesome.
I'm a cat.
I love that though.
He's hilarious. No, he's really bad. And his first is, and I'll let you go, but his first line of picking up girls, because he loves girls, was, hey baby, want to marry me? And I was like, wow, that's a good one. So my husband said, you can't say that. You're like 16. You can't say that to girls. So he changed it. It was much worse after that. He changed it to, hey, baby, want to have a sleepover?
Wow, that
yeah,
was
we really got trouble. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even. That's why it's hard to put in mind because
the hairy brass balls on that guy. I love
yeah,
it.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh, I got a million of them. Anyway, it was so fun talking to you. I feel like I just talked my head off. I'm sorry.
Well, you know,
no, that's what we want. We love to talk to you, and you know all the stuff. We don't know all the stuff. That's what we do. So thank you so much.
Do you have anything coming up or any announcements or any?
I've got my thing. I just, you know, I've got all the stuff that remediating my house and everything. So I read books. I've been reading these books on the air. There was a good one. Mass Control, Mind Control. That was a great one. The Octopus about Danny Castellaro. And I just finished Makers of the Modern Mind, like the 12 guys who, but it's
five. Wasn't that like a 37,000 part series you did?
Yes. And here's the thing. I hadn't read it in so long that I had forgotten that the guy was like a Catholic professor. So I'm halfway through the first episode and I'm like, nobody's gonna, this is about, this guy's just, it starts out like Luther was a fucking asshole. And I'm like, well, I already started. So I did. It was great. It was great. But you have to take it with like a grain of
Catholic
salt.
Hey, you were pot committed. So you had to finish it.
A grain of Catholic salt.
Yeah. If you're not Catholic, then you're going to be like, what the fuck? So I am having a decompression about it with some non-Catholics. So they will shit on it if anybody wants to listen to that. But
be open-minded. Just check it out.
I have some great shows. I have Cognitive Dissidence with Hervoye Morich and Parallel Mike. So they're in Mexico and Poland, and we triangulate on the truth, and we're usually pretty good at it. And what the fuck else? I don't know. Lots of interviews. I just talk to people about
Monica Press Show on Twitter, Monica Press Show on Instagram, I believe. I'll have to look at that.
And Substack. And
I've caught a couple of your live streams on Facebook, which is weird. Like, I don't really do a whole lot of stuff on Facebook.
I stopped getting taken down. That whole
The only reason I saw it is because it was like Monica Perez is going live now. And I'm like, fucking on Facebook? Okay, let's see what's going on.
I know. And I stopped getting taken down. But I get I still get taken down off of YouTube. I'm pretty good at, as soon as I get one strike, I just wipe everything. And then
Dude, they'll strike you for shit that you deleted.
Oh, wow. I know stuff that's private will strike you.
At least I've heard.
They will strike you on private stuff, but I know.
Fuck
so them, insane. Why isn't everyone outraged, though?
I want to save my soul.
Sorry.
That's it. You're sorry for interrupting me? All I do is interrupt. Go ahead.
No, she scratched me in the arm.
No. Okay. Yeah, I scratched him. I'm sorry. Ouch. That was my bad.
All right, guys. Have a great
night. That's all I got. Thank you so much.
Love you, Monica. Tell the elusive Mr. Perez hello, as well as your children, and we would love to meet all of you if you ever fucking come up, you know, the 7 hours or whatever it is.
Hey,
come
up. I might. Oh, yeah, you know I
you
might.
You should. Come up to Mount Shasta area.
Yeah, we could do crystals and stuff.
Eat some mushroom chocolate bars or whatever.
Yeah.
We could probably do
that. I have no idea where to get that.
I don't either, but I'm sure we could find it. I just know we could find it. Like, I don't know where to find it, but I could just ask.
You could probably
I can sniff around. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. Night and
talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 Plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. Whether you're installing a patio or adding a new retaining wall, we have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Plus, get free estimates fast using our landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.